Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Soccer tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, goal!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and brought to you in part by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
It is most definitely appropriate that we start with Muchachos, which was Argentina's World Cup song from 2022. After what happened today, one of the most insane sporting events that I have ever seen. It's been a 24 hours, y'all. Let's kick it here on Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And we get a little bit of a bonus kind of intersection-like show with Noel White behind the glass. What's up?
What is up? What is going on? I am hype. I am full of energy. I've been everywhere today. I've seen so many things. I've had so much fun. But I did not get to see the Argentina comeback. I don't know if it was my service provider or if it was FIFA or if it was Fox or who is to blame. But they blocked it out via streaming, so I couldn't watch it as I worked up here in Colony Square, so I had to score watch. And even that was insane, because what do you mean? What do you mean? In like 6 minutes? What? Jason, you got to explain this to me, because I did not get to see the magic that happened on the pitch. Now, I will tell you some of the other stuff I saw throughout the week before this match, but I did not get to see the match of matches.
Yeah, we'll talk about like the previous, let me see, the game kicked off at noon. We'll talk about the previous about 16 hours kind of as we go, maybe a little bit in the second segment or even the third tonight, because it's been a long day and a half on my end. We had an Atlanta Soccer Tonight at Park Tavern. The U.S. were knocked out of the World Cup last night. I hopped on with John Fricke after that, then slept like a couple of hours, I think, then woke up and was on the morning shift from 6 to 7, then made my way downtown. We went to Underground first to see the Argentine fans going nuts, and then we saw the craziest game maybe that Mercedes-Benz Stadium has ever seen.
I mean, it sounded like it. I know the sound and the atmosphere was absolutely insane. I know when they finally like scored and they finally got the winning goal, I know it just popped. I know it erupted.
Like, I'll get to it in a minute. It felt like time stopped for me a few times in this game. Like, I've watched it back, the end of it, and I swear there was a whole lot more time going on in my head than actually happened, because this was the wildest ride. And full disclosure, if you guys don't already know, I am a huge Argentina fan. It's how I fell in love with the game. So just being in the stadium for an Argentina World Cup knockout match was, I don't even know how to describe it. And I was trying not to yell loudly in the press box, although it really wouldn't have mattered the way this game went, because there were scenes. I saw, and this was not on the Argentina side, I saw a shirt removed and swung over the head like Petey Pablo in the press box today.
hey, I need, you know, if you are like, if this is not just your beat, but this is your life, this is your personality, this is your leisure time, this is your eat, sleep, and breathe, then yeah, you're gonna go in there and start acting like I do, because I have to do that at W games. I have to sit there and try to, you know, act like I have some couth. I actually wound up entertaining one of my colleagues in one of the last State Farm matches. Didn't you know anybody was paying me any attention? All of a sudden, I heard giggling to the left of me. I was like, oh, my bad. You weren't supposed to hear that. So I understand taking your shirt off and swinging around your head like you Petey Pablo, especially after what you guys was able to witness today. Good googly moogly.
Yeah, it was wild. So, I mean, I'm sure most people know the gist of what happened. I'll try to color between the lines here a little bit. Egypt was really good to start this match. They did everything they needed to do. I mean, they weren't dominating the match by any stretch. They weren't controlling the match by any stretch. But they get a goal, a really well-placed header, good cross, back post. They get that lead. Yasser Ibrahim gets in front of Lisandro Martinez, heads it home. Then Argentina got a penalty not long after that, and it's like, okay, Messi's going to step up. It'll be 1-1. It's saved. It wasn't a great penalty. It's a good save, though. I think we do this thing anytime a penalty isn't converted, and we say, oh, terrible penalty. Penalties in this tournament are being completed at a record low clip. It's under 70%. Usually, it's around 78 to 80%.
Wow.
So, for whatever reason, penalties are not being converted. Messi's was not. It's 1-0. It looked like Egypt had made it 2-0, but the referees correctly, and I know there's been some comments out of one coaching staff today that were saying a lot of things. There were lots of insinuations and allegations and things said. We're just getting into the portion of the tournament after everything that went down with Folair and Balogun that people are just saying wild things and
yes,
with no impunity at any point. It's getting out of control.
That part of the World Cup is getting wild. It is all types of statements and things coming out with varying degrees of like how wild it can get.
Degrees of facts, varying
yes,
degrees of any attempt to be serious, varying attempts, varying degrees of anything that resembles professionalism. It's getting wild. So that goal gets taken away. It's still 1-0 Egypt, but then almost not right after, but pretty soon after, they do get the second goal. And it's 2-0 in the 67th minute. You get that second half hydration break, and the goal was almost right before it. Lionel Scaloni, who is one of the best coaches in the world in any sport right now, he has not lost a competition that he has managed Argentina in. He made a really subtle shift with this team, and he put 39-year-old Lionel Messi out wide on the right. So he's cutting in on his left foot. And he torched Egypt from that side. First off, I don't think Egypt expected it. Second, Messi found another gear that I didn't think he still had. And he's starting to, and Argentina was starting to push down the door. So you have about 10 minutes or so after that hydration break where Argentina is all over Egypt. Egypt has just been sitting back really since they got the first goal. And it's you can see it starting to open up, but you see the clock getting away from you. It's 2-0 in the 79th minute. Messi cuts in on the left foot, puts in a cross. Christian Romero, who is a center back who was playing center forward at this point because nothing made sense. Great header from him. It's 2-1, and you start to then think, all right, maybe this can actually happen. And I swear, it threw me, and I had to go back and watch it multiple times because in my memory of experiencing this in the press box, it felt like 10 minutes between goal number one and goal number two for Argentina. It was like three.
Yeah.
It was almost immediate. I think it was technically four, and Argentina almost scored in between that I'd forgotten about, where Messi drove around the outside, cut back a little cross, and Lautaro Martinez headed it just wide. And then probably the next opportunity, Messi puts in a cross. It takes a deflection. He gets it back. He puts in another cross. And it pops back in kick, just trying to get anything on it. And it pops back into the middle. And then Gonzalo Montiel, who is a fullback, who was playing as a center forward as well at this point, he sees Messi coming, and he doesn't try to turn and shoot. He just settles it for Messi. And Lionel Messi hits one of the nastiest half volleys that you could possibly ever see. Backspin, somehow keeps it down underneath the bar. Goalkeeper gets a hand to it. He's not stopping anything at that point. It's unbelievable. And Messi loses it celebrating like you don't normally see. And it's 2-2 at this point. Then we get more chaos because you had two defensive plays that are life-changing for these players. One was Leandro Paredes, who had started one game in the tournament up to this point. He came into the tournament injured. It's a breakaway for Egypt. And this is where the game is on tilt at this point because it's 2-2 in 4 minutes after it being 2-0. And the game's wide open. Argentina doesn't back off. They keep throwing everybody forward.
Oh, that game's not wide open, Jason. No, momentum had completely swung.
But here's the thing. Egypt had chances. It was wide open. Because Argentina didn't like get organized again. One of their center backs is playing center forward, and one of their fullbacks is playing center forward, and Messi's on the right wing, and it's nuts. Like, they're getting chances, but Egypt gets a couple of breaks, and they get one after a pass gets intercepted from Messi, and it's borderline 3-1. I think really it's 2-1 because you've got a player coming back. But Leandro Paredes, who's a central midfielder, he's dropping back. He's the last man. If he doesn't make this play, Egypt has a chance to break in with two against a goalkeeper. And Paredes makes the defensive play of the tournament to stop it. He gets just enough of his boot on the ball to kill the counter. Then Egypt got another chance, like a minute and a half later. Again, it felt like 10 minutes in my memory. They get another chance, and since the defenders were up front for Argentina most of the time at this point, it was a forward in Julian Alvarez who makes another defensive play on Mo Salah, Egypt's legendary attacker, takes it away from him. It's not a penalty. There was a lot of complaining about it afterwards. Alvarez knocks the ball away from Salah and then really trips over him. It's no penalty. And here was the really cool thing watching this back. So, again, because everything felt disconnected and it felt like I was having an out-of-body experience watching this game, you get Alvarez winning the ball in the corner of his own penalty area. And he looks up and he's like, wait a minute, I have a lot of space because Egypt had everybody forward trying to win this game. And Lionel Messi is like playing traffic cop. Messi turns and he's like pointing to where the open space was and the open man was, and it was Lautaro Martinez. And Alvarez, when Messi tells you to do something, you do it. He hits a perfect diagonal, maybe not quite perfect, a little bit overhit, but it's going to stay in play. Lautaro Martinez runs it down. The whole while, Enzo Fernandez, who's played the full 90 at this point and has been running all up and down the field as a midfielder, he had taken off from the top of his own 18. He's running onto the back post. Lautaro Martinez, who is a forward, not a winger, puts in a perfect cross to the back post. And Enzo Fernandez, who is a central midfielder, not a striker, heads it home like he's been doing that his entire life. And it was bedlam, beyond bedlam. I don't know what the sound was. I've never heard it before. It was that crazy.
I believe it. It would have had to been because I promise you, I was in here working, and I looked at the score. I said, okay, they've scored. It's 2-2. They've tied it up. I was shocked at that. I was like, why they tied it up? And then I went back and looked at my phone, and I was like, what? They're winning?
Yeah.
What? How?
I don't know.
I don't need Lionel Messi getting this comfortable in Atlanta Stadium, Jason. I don't need that.
No, he can do it when he's wearing the blue and white shirt. It's completely fine. I'll give him permission. This guy, he's 39 years old.
Yeah, man.
He created six chances, two of them big chances. He had four through balls. He had 12 touches in the box. No player has produced more in a single round of 16 match at this World Cup than what Messi did here. Take a step further back. He's got now 8 goals in the tournament. Mm-hmm. That's the most by anybody in the tournament. That's the most by any player through a team's first 5 games of a single World Cup since 1970. He's already the all-time leader in goals with 21. Ew. Now with that assist, he's the all-time leader in assists with 9. Nobody is within shouting distance of either one or wow. both of them combined at this point. Messi leads the tournament, this tournament, in shots, shots on target, big chances created, expected goals, over performance, so scoring goals that he probably shouldn't, overall rating according to who scored. He's tied for the tournament lead in goal involvements and through balls attempted. What else did he do? With the goal against Egypt, he became the first player in World Cup history to score in 6 straight knockout matches, going back to the last World Cup.
Jason, do you know what you're doing right now?
I'm writing a record book, I think.
You're creating a $60 Adidas t-shirt right now. That's what you're doing.
As long as I get a cut, it's cool.
This is an Adidas t-shirt. All you got to do is put Messi on the front, you know, looking all like, oh, I'm just a cool guy. And then on the back, just list all the accomplishments. And that's a $60 tee. Thank you, Adidas. You can go ahead and send Jason in our t-shirts.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to need to be a large t-shirt or small print, because that's a lot.
Yeah, that's going to be a tee at the end of this World Cup.
Yeah, so much stuff. I mean, this, and just to give context before we go to break, like this kind of game, I said it questioning it like immediately afterwards. I'm like, is this the greatest comeback in World Cup history? Like, I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head, but you never know. We're talking 96 years of a tournament, and I don't remember all of it. It was the 5th time that Argentina has come back in a World Cup. 5th ever. They did it 58, 78. They did it in 94. They did it in 2006. They did it tonight. Across the 1,072 matches that Argentina has played as a national team, this is only the 2nd time they've ever won after trailing by 2 goals, and it's the 1st time in history that they've ever done it from trailing 2-0. Ever. This is a country that's got 3 World Cups. This is one of the proudest soccer countries of all time, and they did things in this that had never been done. It's crazy. And now they're moving on to the quarterfinals, and we know who they're going to play. We know the rest of the quarterfinals. There's still more from this game. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about the U.S. Tomorrow, we're going to have a deeper dive on the U.S. men's national team and their World Cup. We'll get into that in AST because we don't have any matches tomorrow, which is really going to throw me off. I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. Hopefully, sleep.
You're going to be restless tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be where I'm going to get to like 1 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and I'm going to be like, all right, where's the game? Let's go. Where's the game? Come on. I'll do my best to get a little bit of rest, but we do have to pay some bills. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more Atlanta soccer tonight on a historic soccer day in Atlanta. Coming up next on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're done with the round of 16 in the World Cup. Everybody gets a day off tomorrow before we get into these quarterfinals. We had the craziest of crazy games in Atlanta, Argentina. I think the Argentine fans have taken over underground Atlanta again tonight. I believe they were having a festival from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, hey, if you're listening and you want to go celebrate with Argentines who have been celebrating all day, go for it at Underground Atlanta. They might be back. They might be back if they can get through Switzerland in the quarterfinals. Ooh. We'll talk about all the quarterfinals in a second. I mean, there's just so many things from this game. Watching some of the highlights and reactions, like videos of the streets in Buenos Aires basically erupting on the third goal. Bus drivers driving down the street, and the third goal happens on the radio, and he's taking his hands off the wheel, like pumping his fists. I'm like, dude, settle down. Like, keep your hands on the wheel and yell. That's fine.
Focus, sir.
Everybody's going crazy. I mean, it's just, you don't see games like this very often. And I think what's been so cool about this tournament is the Argentina-Cabo Verde game, which feels like a year ago. I thought that was one of the best World Cup games I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Then England went to Mexico City.
Yeah, right? That match was insane.
That's one of the best World Cup games I've ever seen. Then this happened. This is the biggest comeback in World Cup history. Argentina advances. They are still trying to defend their title. They've already got a new song that they're singing for Lionel Messi and winning him the World Cup in his last one. It's going to be hard to knock these guys off at this point. Lionel Scaloni, who we talked about a little bit in the first segment, he joked in his post-game press conference that the players are now calling him the crier after breaking down in the locker room. Scaloni, if you get a chance to watch reaction videos, like they're doing this a lot now where they'll show the coaching staff or show the sideline and the reaction of them as the goal happens. Scaloni, most of the time, is deadpan. You don't get a reaction out of him. He's already thinking ahead to what's next. The Messi equalizer, he lost it for a minute. He lost it for maybe 15 seconds and then was immediately like, all right, now what do we do? The winning goal, he looks like he's about to burst into tears and then gets his head right and is directing to get structured defensively because they remembered by that point they probably needed to play defense.
Just, you get so swept up.
You do. I mean, and he typically doesn't, which is what's so amazing about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he kept a level head. The stadium was erupting. They would still be in the stadium singing if they could be, but I think they finally cleared it. They hadn't cleared it at least an hour after the final whistle by the time we left the press box. Because I was just still sitting there stunned.
Oh,
it
I'm
was
sure. Like,
insane.
You had to be a reporter and an Argentina fan all wrapped in one. So it's just like, okay, I have to report this. And I'm going to do a great job at it. I remember everything that happened, but also, wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
You just want to capture all of it as best as you can. And even doing that, it felt like slow motion. And when you go back and watch, what's literally from the 78th minute through till, and they ended up playing, I think, 10 minutes of stoppage time, maybe a little bit more than that. So, 22 minutes. Argentina's down 2-0 and they win 3-2. Just insane.
I mean, there's no other word for it.
No. And Messi is getting into this conversation, and I know how some people here are. I get it. I understand. If you don't come up in the soccer world, some people get really bent out of shape if you start trying to talk about Lionel Messi as the greatest athlete of all time. But when you do all the things that he's still doing, you're in that conversation. And it's hard to compare sport to sport. It's hard to compare era to era in the same sport.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about somebody who, after the age of 35, mm-hmm. has scored 13 goals in the World Cup, is doing everything he's doing for Argentina, for Miami, what he did for Barcelona before, what he did for PSG. Before,
mm-hmm.
yeah. all of it. You are talking about one of the greatest competitors of all time, and I don't think anybody will argue that. You're talking about one of the greatest winners of all time, one of the biggest athletes in terms of moving the needle worldwide. I think he's the biggest worldwide. It's just on another planet. And he's 39. and leading this tournament in most offensive categories?
You know, it might be, and I can see this because I've been on the outside of it and now I'm on the inside of it. It might be like if it doesn't touch you, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
Right? Because that was me for like until, what, 7 months ago. I didn't get it. Like to me, Messi's that guy in pink is the enemy. I'm not wearing nothing that says Messi on it, 10. None of that. No. But seeing it in blue, it has a different feel to it. Like Greg was asking this weekend on the Sam and Greg show, like, you know, is he that pantheon of overall player? Mm-hmm. You know, like greatest ever player, no matter the sport, the time period, whatever.
Yeah.
And I told Greg, I said, I can't say that yet because I'm just opening the Messi door, right?
Yeah.
But I'm in a place now where I can receive that and not argue it.
Yeah. He
I
is.
Can receive it and go, you know what? I can 100% see how you've gotten there. I'm seeing it and I'm understanding the history at the same time. I didn't realize this guy was out there when I was in 10th grade mm-hmm. in 06.
Mm-hmm.
With the Argentina jersey on and becoming mm-hmm. the phenom. And we're talking about 20 years later.
And he's gotten
better.
And we're
still doing this stuff. Like, this is LeBron's with a little edge to it, right? Because to your point, he's better.
He's still improving
even in this age 20 yep. years later.
That's the difference. To me, that is the difference between Jordan, LeBron, it's NFL's a little bit harder to compare. I think in terms of being a winner, you got to have Tom Brady in that conversation.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of others who are in this conversation, in my opinion. And it's fascinating to see it play out in front of us when people thought he was done at the World Cup after 2018. And he might win another one this year.
I mean, they're trying to bury him now, and I'm looking at him like, I mean, I know 4 years is a long way away, but I feel like it's a coin flip at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I put nothing past him at this point. And that's basically how I've felt about Argentina as this tournament has gone on. I don't think they're the best team left. I don't think they're the favorite to win it. But until somebody beats them, mm-hmm. I don't believe they can lose. Like, today was the prime example. And
I 100% agree. I thought they were dead today. I thought that they were going to be a city full of disappointed people in blue and white jerseys. And in 10 minutes, all of that just flipped on his head. And it's the Messi factor. That's why you can't keep them out of the Spain and France conversation.
Yeah, it's so weird because I was, concerned, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't like, it's over, forget it.
Right,
I never got there. And I was surprised I didn't, honestly. Like, that's usually, when it gets to 2-0, that's usually where my head is. And I never quite got there because I thought Argentina was the better team.
Exactly.
Even down 2-0, they mm-hmm. were creating, they were getting chances. Egypt's goalkeeper played very well. Just a crazy game at the Benz. So Argentina moves on to the quarterfinals. That brings us to What's on Tap. It's brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. From 48 teams down to 8. And we start on Thursday. France and Morocco in Foxborough. Don't underestimate Morocco.
Pause, Jason. I'm glad you brought that up because
we
haven't been able to have this conversation. Were you shocked at the result between Morocco and Canada?
No, not at all. I thought Morocco was by far the better team coming into that. I thought they got tested in the first half.
Yeah.
And then they responded really, really well. This is a Morocco team that I said coming into the tournament, they had to get to the quarterfinals to show that they are elite now and that last World Cup wasn't a fluke. Not a fluke. This team is, they are among the best teams in the world. I've described it throughout the tournament as the top four: Argentina, France, Spain, England. There is a moat around them, and I think it's pretty wide. The next group, it's really tight from front to back. I mean, you could almost go 5 to 25. But there's a gap, a sizable one, from 4 to 5. Morocco is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the chance
okay.
to build either a raft or to build a bridge over that moat when they take on France, who I think has played the best in this tournament, although they didn't blow Paraguay out.
They did not. It took a while. I sat and watched that match on was it that 4th of July?
Before the 4th. Paraguay made them work.
Yeah, I sat there and watched that match with my little soccer phenom cousin.
There we go.
And it was a fun watch. They finally got the score. We don't all the nonsense after that. But dictator Mbappe was out on the pitch and ready to make it happen. And they did score that one goal. But to your point, Jason, I thought, you know, it would be a little more of a runaway for France against Paraguay.
Paraguay is a really good defensive team.
And that's what you saw.
They committed to it. They tried to get under France's skin. And full credit to France. And, like, there were a lot of people who got in their feelings about how Paraguay approached this game. And they were outmanned. They had to try to play it this way and sit back and defend and try to provoke and try to get France to act out and get frustrated. And France didn't. And I give old dictator Mbappe a lot of credit because he said it after the game really cleanly. He's like, they thought we were going to show up in tuxedos and just play fancy football. We can get dirty too. And then when a senator from Paraguay got a little out of pocket and said some things that, not really what you should be saying.
I thought it was satire. It was so bad, Jason.
I did too. I didn't think it was real. And then saw it was real. And then Mbappe shut that down too. Full credit.
I said, ooh, the dictator came out.
Yeah, he definitely did. Full credit to killing Mbappe.
That Paraguay senator did was make me an Mbappe fan. Now I got to go get my France number 10 jersey.
I have so much respect for Mbappe. Like, the whole dictator Mbappe memes and stories are hilarious.
Oh, yeah, it's just fun.
And he plays into it, too. Like, he knows.
Yeah, you're starting to see it.
He is playing it up, and it is very entertaining. He is a great, great player, and it kind of, in a way, I'll leave this segment with this, and we'll finish up the quarterfinal talk on the other side of the break. He kind of reminds me of young Kobe a bit.
Yes.
In that he was, I mean, just an absolute freak player, freak athlete. But maybe when it became his team, he didn't quite know how to lead it yet. And he'll get there. He's got the personality for it. But he's got to find the benevolent dictator Mbappe.
I was about to say, Kobe had to learn how to bend a bit to get teams to go in the direction he wants them to go. And I think the 2008 Olympics was that moment where he learned how to do that, being around those players. And I think Mbappe will figure it out, too.
I think he will, too. And he might do it in this tournament. He very well could win the World Cup with his France team. They get Morocco in the first game of the quarterfinals. We'll talk about the other three. We'll give you a very quick 3-4-3. All of that, one more segment of AST coming up on the other side of the break on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's PRENUVO.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, is there anything and your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably hearing this, maybe a little bit of like a cumbia remix of this at Underground Atlanta tonight. The Argentines. Party until they drop. Game was at noon. They're still going. What a win for Argentina. They're moving on to the quarterfinals. Last segment of AST. We'll get to the 3-4-3 here in just a second. We got three more quarterfinals to set up for you. First game is that France-Morocco game. That is on Thursday in Foxborough at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Friday, 3 o'clock Eastern, Belgium and Spain. This was the game that the U.S. could have been in against Spain. It's in Los Angeles. Belgium eliminated the U.S. last night, and then they had a whole lot of things to say about it afterwards. Maybe making some people happy, maybe not making any fans here in the United States. Very upset about Folair and Balogun being cleared to play. It ultimately didn't matter, and I think, if anything, it was probably a distraction for the U.S.
Agreed.
They did not look good in it. I don't think it was very comfortable for that group of players, going from being the plucky host underdogs to having everybody in the world hating on them when the players had nothing to do with it. I hate that their World Cup got affected by what shouldn't have been a red card in the first place, and then FIFA got weird about clearing Balogun to play and haven't properly explained it well, even though, as FIFA did point out, and I absolutely agreed with them on this, red cards get overturned and suspensions get withheld in leagues all the time. This is not like some shocking thing. It just hasn't happened in the World Cup, and the process wasn't explained, and everybody got in their feelings and had a lot of stories to say about it.
Yeah, man.
I don't think Belgium gets past Spain. They have not conceded a goal yet in the tournament. Now, they haven't been as good offensively as they should be. They had to fight for it against Portugal. They got a stoppage time goal from Mikel Merino. Spain should be okay here. That was my pick to win the tournament before everything got started. They haven't lived up to it. I think they're probably the fourth team on the island with the moat around it of favorites.
Yeah, they just seem really sluggish for whatever reason from the very first match against Cape Verde.
They seem very... They're controlling games, but they're not dynamic.
Yes.
Like, they're not threatening you a whole lot, but they're not giving you anything to threaten them with either. So it's interesting, and we'll see if they can break out against Belgium in the quarterfinal on Friday. And then Saturday, you get a doubleheader that is going to be a lot of fun. 5 o'clock in Miami. A lot of Brazilians had to sell their tickets, give up their hotel rooms, because the Vikings of Norway knocked them off. They're rowing their way down to Miami to play England, who got past Mexico at the Estadio Azteca.
That's going to be fun.
Erling Haaland, the crazy Viking warrior. I think one English report called him a Yeti goal-scoring machine. I mean, he's probably bought a new cowboy hat and cowboy boots for this. He just is crazy.
Yeah, he has the personality for it. He really understands the sports media game and how to play it.
Mm-hmm. He's in a good spot right now. He's becoming a star.
He's really good in those Nike ads, too. I don't know if y'all seen those crazy Nike soccer ads that they've been running with all the other athletes they have on their roster. But I've seen snippets of his and another teammate of his, and they are quite comical. Them over there doing yoga while everybody else is running around crazy.
Yeah. Norway's going to be a handful for England, and England had to suffer a lot to get past Mexico. There was a red card in that, absolutely valid red card in that one. It was a studs-up challenge, straight leg, almost broke somebody's leg. But Jude Bellingham stepped up in a big way, had his best game in an England shirt, and they survived with 10 in Mexico City. Historic performance. I didn't know England had that in them, but I want to know how much it took out of them. And they go to Miami, where it could be hot and humid. Norway didn't have to sweat as much in beating Brazil. So that game, England's favored. Norway is not a crazy pick in that one. And then, honestly, the last one, 9 o'clock on Saturday night in Kansas City, it's Argentina and Switzerland. Switzerland survived a penalty shootout tonight, or this afternoon, to get past Colombia. Argentina has had to suffer a lot to get to this point. The comeback today, 120 minutes against Cabo Verde. Switzerland haven't been great in this tournament, but they're going to be fresher than Argentina. They just don't have the experience of these kind of games. This is their first quarterfinal, I think, since 1954, if I'm not mistaken. So are they going to be able to handle that? I don't know, but they're going to have more energy. So I'm really curious to see what Lionel Scaloni does lineup-wise. I think he's going to have to rotate it again just to find fresh legs. That takes us to the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three standout players, four headlines, three things that have made me smile as of late. your standout players really through the round of 16. I mean, Lionel Messi, duh. He's leading the Golden Boot race. We talked all about him earlier. Here's the short version. 8 goals in the tournament. That's the most for a player through their first 5 games since 1970. All-time leader in World Cup goals. All-time leader in World Cup assists. First player ever to score in 6 straight World Cup knockout matches. He is doing this while riding an 11-match streak, both for club and country, with a direct goal involvement in every one. The last game that he did not have a goal or an assist was April 25th against the New England Revolution.
Ooh.
He's 39 years old, people. It's crazy. Number 2, standouts, Erling Haaland. 2 goals in the final 11 minutes to send Brazil home.
That little boop was crazy. I was like, that's it? That's all it took?
Mm-hmm.
Was a little boop of the foot, of the side of the foot?
Turn and rip.
Ugh.
Just so good. He is a monster. That's a huge moment. Biggest goal in Norwegian soccer history. They're about to play their biggest game ever. They've never been to this stage. And Erling Haaland is just... there's not many defenders who can handle him physically. They can't run with him either. He's an incredible talent. We'll see if he can keep carrying Norway through. And number 3, I mean, you got to put the dictator Mbappe on the list, right? Otherwise, he's going to come after me. So
you got to.
Mbappe's on the standout list. He's
Mbappe's
tied on
at,
goals.
What, 7 goals right now?
He's on 7.
Yeah.
He is right there in the mix. He is maybe becoming more of a leader in front of our eyes.
I think so.
As guys are starting to gravitate to him. Now, guys on the team are calling him Mobutu, which is another dictator, which is really funny when you see the video. I think it was Ousmane Dembele who's like, Mobutu, Mobutu, like yelling at Mbappe.
Hilarious.
I'm like, oh my goodness. They all know the memes now. But Mbappe is going to be huge in that game against Morocco. He is, I think, best friends or really close friends with Achraf Hakimi. They were teammates at PSG. So that'll be a battle of friends who will not be friendly for at least 90 minutes in that one. All right, 4 headlines from around the tournament. Number 1, all the host nations are out, unfortunately, all out in the round of 16. Canada and the U.S. didn't put up much of a fight in theirs.
I was about to say, Canada at least stood their ground.
A little, for half.
Mexico at least stood their ground in Mexico City.
Mexico did. I thought Mexico, they went out very strong. They just didn't quite have enough answers in the last 15, 20 minutes. It just became lumping in crosses and hoping.
Yep. And shout out to Malik Tillman.
Yeah, I mean, Tillman gave the U.S. a lifeline, and then you give up a goal pretty much the first thing that the other team does. So.
I didn't even get down from my jump.
I
jumped up in the air, and I couldn't even land my feet on the ground before Belgium scored another goal.
I'm already thinking, like, all right, it's 1-1. All right, what are you going to do? What kind of changes are you going to make? Oh, wait, no, it's 2-1.
Great. But when my mans, Mauricio Pochettino kicked over them Gatorade, Powerade bottles, I said, yeah, that's my guy. That is the proper response. That is my guy.
I hope he comes back. I don't know, because I do think he wants to get back into the club game. I don't think there's a great job out there right now for him, but I wonder if he doesn't take a job, if he says no to the U.S., and is basically the coach in demand until he gets the job that he wants. It's not a bad spot to be in. I just don't know if he wants to do that or if he wants to work. Pretty hardworking guy. So I'm really curious to see, once he gets a little bit of a break to decompress, what comes out of that. Number 2, the Follero-Balogun controversy. And I feel like we talked about it a ton yesterday on AST. We talked about it again this morning on the morning shift. It's still hanging over everything at the moment. Belgium is still talking about objecting, and I don't know what they're appealing at this point, but they're still talking about it and issuing statements. I think they're up to statement number 7 or 8 at this point on it. It's going to hang over everybody's head. Now, every red card in the tournament, there's going to be complaints and appeals, and just the process needs to be clarified. That's got to happen. Number 3, if you missed it, Neymar announced that he is retiring from the Brazilian national team. I give him a ton of credit. I talked about this after they got knocked out. Neymar's career has been a fascinating one, and I think when he retires completely, he'll get the flowers that he deserves.
Yeah.
He, when he was younger, maybe wasn't the consummate professional like he needed to be. incredibly talented. I mean, things just came easy for him. And we see this happen. He earned my respect when he went back to Brazil after leaving Saudi Arabia, and he was broken down physically and kept Santos from getting relegated, his boyhood club that he went back to play for. I mean, he was on one leg, and he kept that team up. He kept them from getting kicked out of the top division. Full credit to that. He gave everything he possibly could to contribute in the World Cup this time around. He did get a garbage time goal in that Norway game from the penalty spot. I give him a ton of credit, but yeah, physically, he just can't do it at the national team level anymore. I don't know how much longer he plays at the club level either. And number four,
might be MLS time.
Maybe Cincinnati was chasing him, but it looks like that's not going to happen. So I think he's got the most value in Brazil. So it just depends on if he can find the right Brazilian club that's actually got money and not John Texter offering him fake money. Just saying. Yes, John Texter's actually not in control of Botafogo anymore right now, but it's kind of unclear who is. So, yeah, I don't know when Atlanta United's getting paid for Thiago Almada, who might be going to River Plate. He might be moving to another club before Atlanta United fully gets paid for him. Because
wow.
It's crazy out there. Number four on the headlines, the quarterfinals. I mean, you've got now left in this tournament, including the third place game, 8 more matches. You've got the 4 quarterfinals, Thursday, Friday, 2 games on Saturday. Then we get a break. Then first semifinal is Tuesday of next week. Then Wednesday, all eyes on Atlanta, the second semifinal. It could be either England or Norway against either Argentina or Switzerland. We will see.
Woo!
And very quickly, 3 things that make me smile. I mean, Messi breaking into tears at the final whistle. That about broke me because he's usually not that guy. He was that guy after this game because I think it took so much out of him and it meant so much. This felt like a championship win, not a round of 16 win. Number 2, which I just talked about, Neymar. Just the career that he has had and the legendary status that he has had. He started his international career at MetLife Stadium, believe it or not, when he made his first appearance for Brazil. And he played his last minutes for Brazil at the exact same stadium. That doesn't happen very often. And number 3, Morocco. Back-to-back World Cup quarterfinals for an African nation. First time ever. Morocco is a contender. They've got to show that they can climb over that moat. We'll talk about that the rest of this week. We're not taking a break. I'll be back tomorrow. More Atlanta Soccer tonight. We'll do a deeper dive on the U.S. men's national team and their World Cup journey. We will get you set up on those quarterfinals. All of that tomorrow, 10 o'clock on AST. But thank you, Noel. Thank you, all of y'all out there listening. Thank you, Argentina and Egypt, for the very entertaining afternoon. Adios, everybody.
Adios, guys.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team. But not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.